Please turn with me now to the scriptures. We will be reading from John chapter 1, verses 1 to 18 today. May God bless us in the reading of his word. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him, nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to testify concerning that light, so that through him all might believe. He himself was not the light. He came only as a witness to the light. The true light that gives light to everyone was coming into the world. He was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision or a husband's will, but born of God. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son, who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. John testified concerning him. He cried out, saying, "This is the one I spoke about when I said, 'He who comes after me has surpassed me, because he was before me.' Out of his fullness we have all received grace in place of grace already given. For the law was given through Moses. Grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God, but the one and only Son, who is himself God and is in closest relationship with the Father, has made him known." And this is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Today, we are blessed to have Reverend Chua speak to us from the passage we have just read. May God open the eyes of our hearts to receive from his sermon titled, "The Eternal Word for a Changing World." Reverend Chua, please.
Once again, a very blessed New Year to all of us. It is great that we are all able to gather on the second day of the Lunar New Year to worship, despite our busy visitation schedule. With the new year, may all things be renewed. This is what we wish each other during Chinese New Year. Young people these days like to use acronyms to express their attitudes and values. A very good example is YOLO, Y-O-L-O. You only live once. It is indeed true that life cannot be repeated. And in life, it is inevitable that we make mistakes and we miss some good opportunities which cost us much regret. Hence, in the new year, we hope to learn from previous experiences and to do better. Our desire is not only for external circumstances to improve, we also need renewal internally. In any case, despite the challenges in the year ahead, we want to be filled with hope and be steadfast with a sense of calling. In our passage today, the Apostle John sought to reveal Jesus as Messiah and call people to believe in him. From his opening words to the final paragraph, John proclaimed Jesus as someone who is unlike any other. He's not merely a respected teacher, nor was he just a good man of integrity. John shares God's heart with us so that we may know God. Whether you are a non-believer or someone who have been following Christ for a number of years, the truth about God's Son demands a response, even today, even as a Christian, so that we may experience life transformation and be ready to face the challenges ahead of us with steadfast faith and unwavering hope. To help us focus on the salient points, we'll be looking at three main areas today. First of all, the deity of Christ. And secondly, the response to Christ. Finally, the incarnation of Christ. Let's begin with the first main point, the deity of Christ. To help us understand that Jesus is no mere man, in his gospel, John affirms Jesus' divinity before he tells us what Jesus said or did on earth. In these opening verses, John actually did not mention Jesus' name, but instead he referred to him with the Greek word logos in the original version, which is translated for us as word. The word logos actually incorporates multiple layers of meaning that cannot be easily captured in a single word. Hence, as a start, we need to consider the meaning of word. Logos in Greek has been translated as word in English. In the ancient Greek thinking, logos encompassed the concept of reason. In ancient Greek mythology, logos indicated the first cause, or in other words, the origin. An intelligent, divine, but unknown power behind the entire universe. And in Judaism, God's word represents the dynamic power of his will. God's word is not just an expression of his thinking. It has got power. Whatever he speaks, whatever he says, it is done. And the Jews are very familiar with the creation narrative and are very well aware of the close connection between the word and the world. In the book of Genesis, it is written, God commanded and it was created. Just through his word, the whole universe was created. His word created the world. So right from the very start, John wrote, the Word was God. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. It means the Word existed even before the creation. This implies the Word transcends time and space. Before time and space were created, the Word existed. And the Word was with God, which sets it apart from all creation. Unlike some religious thinking, pantheism, where God is everywhere in everything, even in the mice, on the bench that you're seated. But here we are told that actually God is distinct from creation, all right? And the Word is of a different league altogether, a different level. It's just like a painter and his masterpiece. The masterpiece may be an expression of the painter, but it is not the painter, all right? And we are told, never judge a book by its cover. You cannot really know a person merely from outward appearance. Only when the person verbalizes and expresses his thinking can we know his thoughts and his attitudes. Essentially, in verse 1, John is saying that Jesus in the flesh is the very expression of God himself. The Word came to reveal what God is like, his attributes, His promises, His will. Through Jesus, we see God's mighty works, His wisdom and His goodness. If not for Jesus, the living Word, we will not be able to truly know God. And Jesus is God Himself. Unlike the claims of Jehovah's Witnesses who deny the concept of Trinity due to the mistranslation of verse 1 in the Gospel of John, just to conform to their doctrine that Jesus is not God Himself, but a created being who is lesser than the Almighty God. That is what they claim, the Jehovah's Witnesses. But John actually corrected that. But when John said the Word was God, it means the Word is of the same divine essence and not merely a figure of speech or a concept. And he continues, through Him all things were made. Without Him, nothing was made that has been made. There is indeed a close connection between the Word and the world. Now, during Chinese New Year, people like to greet each other with a lot of well wishes. I'm sure since yesterday you've been hearing a lot, probably you have been saying a lot too. And then, of course, there is this hope that the country will flourish and people live in peace. 国泰民安, that's a Chinese phrase that captures this idea. All is going well with the country and people are living in peace. But especially in recent times, I think this is really a wish that all of us cling on to, right? Because we hear very often of news regarding the environment, the climate changes that are causing extreme natural phenomena, such as earthquakes, volcano eruptions, droughts, flooding, so extreme. They are not evenly distributed, the rainfall, And you have massive storm that's destructive. The world today seems to be in chaos, out of balance. This, however, was completely different from what it was at the beginning when the world was created. According to the book of Genesis, when the world was created, God was pleased with His masterpiece. At the end of each day of creating, it says, and God saw that it was good. So it can't be what we have today. Very unlike what we have today. Whatever God created, they were good. But that is no longer the case today. We are very thankful that Singapore is in a location that's free from natural disasters. But that does not free us from the threats of environment pollution and global warming. While we may not face immediate impact from natural calamities, global logistics of resources and food supply as well as security indirectly affect us, affect our economy, affect our daily lives. You are feeling the pinch of it as we pay for our grocery, right? Inflation and all this, these are actually affected by what is happening around the world. The world today is plagued with challenges which is causing anxiety and helplessness. We don't seem to be able to effect change, to reverse the chaos. Many years ago, I had the opportunity to go to Nepal for a mission trip. And we had to minister in some village in the remote mountains. We spent days and much effort just trekking to the destination, right? But up in the mountain, especially at night, the sight is just beyond imagination. As if we're on the high ground, wherever you look, whichever direction you turn, you could see the horizon. Very unlike Singapore. Everywhere you turn, you see flats. You can't see no horizon at all. But when you are high up in the mountain, every direction is horizon. And at night, the whole dark sky was filled with huge stars. I've never seen such huge stars in my life. And they are really huge. For those of us who have not seen it or been there physically, just by imagination, some of you might think, wow, so mesmerizing, so romantic. But I can assure you, it is not romantic at all. Because it was like as if a gigantic net that is engulfing the whole earth. It was overwhelming. In fact, it was very scary. Very, very scary. Whenever we are in close encounter with nature, we can't help but be amazed by its mystery. Be it an enormous mountain, or when we are facing the infinite ocean, we feel very insignificant. We feel very small. And from the media, I believe most of us would have seen some recordings of the tsunami or volcano eruption. And I believe some of us have personally experienced earthquake or typhoon, right? The energy of nature is awesome. But as we think deeper about the creator of the universe, His wisdom, almighty power, must be all the more beyond our imagination. Even the massive, potent energy inherent in nature is no comparison with the power of God, who is the creator of the whole universe. So when we think of how much we are being so-called threatened by our surrounding, remember the God who created the universe. Now further in the passage, John continues to reveal that the Word is life and light. In Him was life, and that life was the light of men. This verse emphasizes that the Word has a strong connection with everything that has life, especially with human beings. This draws to the Genesis account, which says that God created mankind in His own image. In the image of God, He created them. Next verse, And male and female, He created them. Being made in the image of God, every person has a natural tendency to believe in God, to want to draw near to God, to want to know God. John further explains, the true light that gives light to everyone was coming into the world. Now, as we look at this verse, we may be wondering, but why is there a need to give light? Unless people are living in darkness. People are in need of light. That's why there's a need to give light. Genesis chapter 2 mentioned how Adam and Eve defied God's command and ate the forbidden fruit, which plunged the whole human race into darkness. God originally intended for humankind to govern and take care of creation. But with the fall of mankind, not only was there no proper management, there has been misuse and abuse of resources, causing damage to the environment. And due to sin, there is a division between God and man, just as light and darkness cannot coexist in the same time and space. And therefore, sinful man cannot approach God and restore our relationship with Him unless light breaks through into darkness. There is no hope. And John is saying that the Word is life and light. In other words, there is hope. Verse 14 says, "The Word became flesh and made His dwelling among us, the one and only Son who came from the Father." And that is to say, the Word is the only Son of God, Jesus Christ, who entered into human history. Verse 18 says, "No one has ever seen God, but the one and only Son, who is Himself God, and is in closest relationship with the Father, and has made Him known." Right. The true light draws people to the Creator God. And through the coming of the only Son, Jesus Christ, God is revealed and made known to humankind. Now, all these are very important and very good, but there is one crucial point. Having said that, what is important now is the response to Christ. He was in the world, and though the world was made through Him, the world did not recognize Him. He came so that He came to that which was His own, but His own did not receive Him. These verses reflect that though Jesus was present in the world that He created, the people did not know Him. Jesus came as a Jew, but the Jewish leaders as a whole rejected Him as the Messiah to the extent that they even crucified Him on the cross. Last December, many places were celebrating Christmas. The light up at Orchard was received with lots of excitement. However, most people still have not accepted Christ. And many don't even know who He is. It's such an irony. People who are enjoying Christmas do not know the reason behind Christmas. It is as if throwing a birthday celebration, but the birthday boy is not present. People are merrymaking without the birthday boy. The Christmas lights may be dazzling, but the joy that they bring to people is temporal. It's over. They could not light up the darkness in their souls, nor could they dispel the loneliness within them. Which is why we need to share the good news and lead people to Christ, out of darkness into light. So that even in a world of uncertainty, there is hope. And people could still live a life that is meaningful and fulfilling, despite all these challenges. Now, so much about people in need of light who may not have known Jesus. But what about us? Those of us who are coming to church, worshiping, Christians, are our days filled with hope? Are we confident or are we anxious? Are we uncertain as to how we could continue with our daily lives and live a life that is victorious, above all the challenges around us? The world has undergone drastic change in recent years. What threatens humanity today is not just the advanced weapons of massive destruction, viruses and diseases that are invisible to the eye are beyond prevention. Most of us, despite the fact that we have been vaccinated, got COVID. Reverend Luke, I'm not sure whether he's with us online at the moment. He was vaccinated, but he can't be with us today. So what we face are challenges that we cannot prevent. The stark reality of geopolitical and political, this global situation is severe, impacting the economy and even our daily lives. It is like confronting an enormous mountain, uncertain whether we are able to overcome it. In a time like this, let us shift our focus away from the mountain to the Lord Jesus Christ, the creator of the universe. The Apostle John says, "Yet to all who received him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God." We love our children. We are very happy that they are able to worship with us today. And as children of God, we are assured that his love for us far exceeds our earthly parents. And he can definitely take care of us. We are often worried about what is going to happen or things that are happening around us today. Natural calamities, human disasters. We read all this every day in the news. The impacts of wars and conflicts, global warming, pandemic, will hit us. Even though we may not be experiencing it at the moment, sooner or later, the impact will hit us. But more often than not, our greatest enemy is not external, but within us. Hidden deep inside us, our self-centeredness, our pride, our lack of faith. Christmas is not just for sharing the salvation of Christ with non-believers. It is also an important reminder to Christians. Trusting in Christ is not just the turning point of an unbeliever. It is also an ongoing spiritual discipline for Christians. We need to exercise our faith daily in the face of constant challenges. We need to trust in God, who is in control, and allow God's purpose to be fulfilled through us. As children of God, we know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. This actually leads us to our final point, number 3, the incarnation of Christ. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us, who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. Now, this alone, Word became flesh, is unsurpassed grace. Through the appearance of Jesus, God is revealing himself to the world, while at the same time also making it clear to us that we cannot find salvation except through Christ. We can't save ourselves. Otherwise, we will be enslaved in darkness, living transient lives without hope. The incarnation is also a reflection of God's great love and identification with mankind. God did not just remain seated on his throne. He left heaven and entered humanity, subjecting himself to the constraints of time and space in order to identify with our daily struggles and even to be betrayed and humiliated. In the same verse, John says that he is full of grace and truth. Now, grace is reflected in Jesus' ministry, whether in healing, casting out of demons, in his redemptive work, his sacrifice, and his love. Whereas truth encompasses Jesus' identity, his being. It also includes his divine nature, and it also reveals the sinfulness of mankind. To enhance our appreciation, it is mentioned in verse 17, "For the law was given through Moses, grace and truth came through Jesus Christ." While God's grace was also revealed in the Old Testament, through Jesus, God's revelation and manifestation of his grace has superseded that of the Old Testament. John notes that Christ surpasses even Moses. And hence John says, "Out of his fullness we have all received grace in place of grace already given," or grace upon grace. Why does God love us? God doesn't love us because we are deserving. His grace or favor does not have anything to do with our worthiness. All of us are unworthy. Instead, Jesus took our sins upon himself to make us worthy. That is grace. The grace that Jesus brought to mankind surpasses the grace that was given to the Jews in the Old Testament. Hence, grace in place of grace already given, or grace upon grace. And this is clearly seen in the book of Hebrews on how the promises of the Old Testament were fulfilled in Jesus. For example, in the Old Testament, God taught the people spiritual truth through many laws, regulations, and ceremonies. But in the New Testament, through his only Son, the mediator, we were brought into a closer spiritual relationship with God. Learning spiritual truth through laws and regulations as compared to being in a spiritual relationship through Jesus, the mediator. That is a breakthrough. That is grace upon grace. Jesus brought abundant grace to the world. But sadly, many rejected his truth and even plotted against him. And today, at this present moment, the Israelis in general only accept the Old Testament and reject the New Testament Bible. In other words, they refuse to recognize Jesus as the Messiah. And hence, they are unable to experience the truth and grace of the Lord Jesus. The Bible says that those who believe are given the rights to become children of God, to have a life connection with God is a special privilege. It allows us to enjoy God's presence and experience life eternal right now, where we are in our present life. A sister was relating how her mom got converted at home. After sharing the gospel, this sister suggested to her mom to pray to receive Christ as her Lord and Savior. Her mom felt uncomfortable because she was thinking that she should not approach God so casually. Instead, her mom asked her, should she change her clothes first to something more formal before she would pray? Now, her reverence for God is commendable. It's really commendable. And for some of us, or some people, they feel uncomfortable praying in the toilet because they think it's not a holy place. It's not a proper place to pray. But God is with us. Whether in the office, in the market, whether you're reading or watching a video, or whether you're hanging out with friends, God is with us. Even if you have to go through a surgery, normally if you go through a surgery, your closest family members cannot be with you. They can't go through the surgery with you in the operation theater. But Jesus, through the Holy Spirit, is with us. Even when we think nobody understands, even when we feel helpless and lonely, Jesus is with us. I remember a sister was sharing, she was going for an operation. And as a Christian, she was telling herself, it's okay, I'll sing hymns as she was being pushed to the operation theater. But lo and behold, as she was being pushed in a trolley to the operation theater, her mind went blank. She couldn't remember any Christian songs. But one thing she knew, God is with her. Whether you remember the songs or not, God is with us. Jesus promised, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, and surely I am with you always, to the very end of the age. He will definitely not forsake us. Therefore, despite severe, daunting challenges, let us not give up. Not give up our journey as a Christian. Not give up our calling as a disciple. Not give up the Great Commission to lead people to Christ. And all the more so in this turbulent generation, at this very moment, it is even more necessary for us not to give up. Because people around us are losing hope. The world today is no longer the same as it was when it was first created. The rate of decline is hard to imagine, and no wonder people are becoming anxious about their future. As the creator of heaven and earth, Jesus certainly has control over nature. With all the phenomena that is going in different parts of the world, they are all actually within his control. And since he made human beings in his own image, he knows us better than anyone else, even better than your doctor. He knows our weaknesses, our emotional fluctuation, the turmoil that we go through, even our mental struggles, our attitudes. No one knows better. And no one can help us better than Jesus. There will be changes and uncertainty in the new year. Seems to be a very grim message to be sharing during Chinese New Year. But from eternity, God already knows, and He understands our difficulties. Even before the year come to pass, He already knew. And even when facing this changing world, the Lord Jesus, He's unchanging. He's eternal. He's the eternal Word, the faithful God. He will never change, and His love endures forever. Not only is He the creator of the universe, He, for the sake of humankind, He sacrificed Himself to save us. He's not just an almighty divine being. He's the God who loves us personally to an extent that is willing to die for us. And He says, I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble. But take heart, I have overcome the world. So let us not doubt God's faithfulness and His power. Instead, let us share the truth and grace of Jesus and bring hope to those people around us that they too may experience a life that is purposeful and filled with hope as well as peace. Let's pray together. God, our Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word that is eternal. Through your word, we have come to know not only your promises, your will, but we come to know who you are in a personal way. We thank you. We thank you for sending the Lord Jesus Christ to come to show us what God is like. Not someone who remained seated in the heavenly throne, but someone who came into our world to experience our struggles. And even as we face the many challenges ahead of us, we can be certain that we are not alone. And with that, we have the confidence to face whatever challenges ahead. With confidence, knowing that the Lord Jesus Himself has overcome the world. And in Christ, we have victory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.